Good morning. I'm Mary Beth Marsden, and this is Know Your Health from LifeBridge Health, where each week we bring you important health information. This week we're talking about cervical cancer and what you do could save your life. Joining us today is Dr. Catherine Tabor, Medical Director of the Women's Wellness Center at Northwest Hospital. Dr. Tabor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So I think we've all heard of cervical cancer, and I think you can screen for it too, but what exactly is the cervix?
Great question. So the cervix is the lower one-third of the womb. It's the part that connects the upper part of the uterus to the vagina, and it's the part that dilates during childbirth. So when you hear people really excited, she's fully dilated, that's the cervix.
Okay, so let's talk about the causes of cervical cancer and maybe who's at risk as well.
Cervical cancer is caused by a virus called human papilloma virus, or HPV is what we call it for short. There's many types of HPV, and only some of the types of HPV are actually cancer-causing. However, HPV is a sexually transmitted disease, and over 70% of people who are sexually active actually have HPV. Now, despite a lot of people having HPV, very few women will actually develop cancer of the cervix.
Go ahead.
So that's probably the biggest risk factor for cervical cancer. It is necessary, but not enough to get cancer of the cervix.
Is this the time we should bring up the vaccine?
No, can we hold on that?
Sure, I know.
But yes, that's a great question. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about the symptoms of this particular type of cancer.
So the symptoms, unfortunately, are very few early on. So early cervical cancer, there really are no symptoms. Later, you might find bleeding. So bleeding after intercourse, bleeding in between periods, bleeding after menopause. Other symptoms would be vaginal discharge, especially if it was bloody. And lastly, pain, pelvic pain or pain with intercourse.
Is that when you get to the pain part, is that kind of where your cancer has advanced more? I mean, that's sort of the problem, right?
Exactly. Yes, that's not where you want to catch
it. So let's talk about diagnosis. And it must be difficult in the early stages to diagnose.
Well, not really, because we actually have fabulous screening for cervical cancer. We have a pap smear. And the pap smear is great at catching precancer cells of the cervix, where we can treat that early. The pap smear is where we take exfoliated cells from the top of the cervix. And one point I would like to make is that the pap smear is not a pelvic exam. So just because you've had a pelvic exam does not mean you've had a pap smear. And just because some women need pap smears every 3 years or every 5 years, it doesn't mean that you don't need a pelvic exam yearly. They're different.
But don't you usually get them at the same time?
Not always.
Really?
Right. So, for example, if a woman goes to the emergency room for pain, she will have a pelvic exam but not a pap smear. And now that many providers are giving pap smears every 3 to 5 years, oftentimes you still need that pelvic exam yearly, but your pap smear is not done. The only way to know if a pap smear is done is to ask the provider.
So at what age should a woman start having screenings?
21.
And let's talk about lifestyle choices. We always talk about that for other kinds of cancers.
Absolutely. And this is very important. Smoking makes the HPV more aggressive and harder to get rid of. Immunosuppression, like if you have an organ transplant, HIV makes cervical cancer much more likely. Birth control pills for more than 5 years. Having multiple sexual partners or early age of sexual intercourse. And actually having 3 or more kids. And then lack of screening.
How about the treatment options if you are diagnosed?
Right. So treatment, if you are found with precancer cells, it's a pretty easy therapy. We do a cone biopsy. It's shaped like an ice cream cone. It's an outpatient treatment. It's a pretty simple thing. It removes the abnormal cells. Once you have cancer, it's a hysterectomy, usually a radical hysterectomy with radiation and often sometimes chemotherapy. So you want to find it early.
All right. Now let's bring up this vaccination. I know that boys and girls are getting at a fairly young age.
Yes. So the vaccine, there are actually two that are out there. One is approved for boys and girls, and one is approved just for girls. The recommended ages are between 9 and 26, and it's a series of 3 shots, 0, 2, and 6 months are apart. The vaccines, we like to get the kids early for a couple reasons. One, the children are more immunogenic at a younger age, so they'll have a better response to the vaccine. And two, you really need to get them vaccinated before They have any HPV exposure, but the vaccines prevent about 70 to 75% of the cervical cancers, and one of the vaccine also will prevent 90 to 95% of genital warts. It's
and
a
those
good
are
vaccine.
The very important numbers.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Tabor, for joining us. To find out more about cervical cancer and cervical cancer screenings, or to find a LifeBridge Health specialist near you, call 410-601-WELL, that's 410-601-WELL, or visit lifebridgehealth.org/Women's Wellness Center. I'm Mary Beth Marsden. Thanks so much for joining us. It's 10 o'clock.